Welcome to the Pastor and Intern Podcast. My name is Eric. I'm the pastor on the podcast, and I'm here with Will, who is the intern part of the podcast. Will, how you doing?
Shocker. I'm good.
You're doing good? Are you doing okay?
No, but I'm here.
I am not either. I am here. I am incredibly tired. Like, I don't know that I ever feel my brain, but right now, I can't feel the front of it. I feel like it's gone.
It's just not there.
Yeah, it's weird.
No,
I haven't had any caffeine today. That's probably part of it. But, yeah, what are we talking about?
We are talking about the doctrine of God.
Yes, we're talking about who God is. What does he do? We're talking about those type of things. I have this quote here from the Green Book, which I think is great. It says, "The doctrine of God has immediate and practical implications for how we worship, what we preach, the context of our prayer life, and the way we live and act in the world." Now, that is a full sentence. I don't know that I can write sentences like that. It is incredibly
full. It is a full sentence. That's right.
But I think it's interesting that we can know things about God, and that influences how we worship and what we preach and the content of our prayer life and the way we live. I think that's interesting. I don't know that... I think we do this, you know, not on purpose. I think we do it subconsciously, the way we worship, the way we preach, and all that stuff. And I think it's interesting that the way we view God changes the way that we do everything that we do being Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting.
Well, it also shows that it affects everything, right?
Yeah.
What we believe about God affects all that we do, how we worship, what we preach.
It's crazy.
Our prayer life. Yeah.
And nothing else is like that, you know. Like, nothing else in the world is like that, because I think God is just so unique and big and everything. And so here is Timothy George quote, which I'm going to paraphrase.
I don't know who that is. Who is that?
I have no idea.
You don't know either, dude.
I don't either. But
I'll
he
find
says,
out.
"Even though we believe this confidently, reverently, and joyfully, but not easily, lightly, or casually." Have you figured out who Timothy George is?
Works at Beeson Divinity School. He is the founding dean.
Is he alive?
It looks like he is.
Great. Good for him.
I think.
Hopefully many more years.
He's from Harvard University. Mm. He was at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Got
Woo.
His AB. I don't know what that is. Yeah, associates. Yeah. I don't know.
Sure.
Like the opposite of a BA. Like,
oh, my God.
Because it's AB. Get it?
Yeah,
it's
going to
be
a
long podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
I'm going to read the quote again because I feel like we're distracted.
Yeah, go ahead. Read the quote.
"Even though we believe this confidently, reverently, mm-hmm, and joyfully, mm-hmm, but not easily, lightly, or casually." What does that mean?
Okay. So we take this thing seriously, right? Seriously. Holy cow. It is like we're running on like 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, no.
So okay, so hold on. So we had our Super Bowl thing last night.
Yes,
right?
We did, yeah.
And I don't know that we played like basketball, football, volleyball.
We played everything.
For like 3 hours straight.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why we are...
dead.
Now, I actually slept. You said
I didn't
you
sleep at
slept
all.
Last
I
night.
Couldn't. I stared at the ceiling.
Yeah. And I barely can function when I'm fully awake. Less... like, speak English.
Yeah.
I'm not good at speaking
English.
I hope
I don't interact with many people today.
When I'm fully awake.
Because I don't know that I'll be the best man.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so back to this quote. So, I like that. So, I guess maybe it's me. We're taking this thing seriously. I don't know. So, we take it confidently, reverently, and joyfully. I like that word joyfully there.
Okay? Yeah.
So, it's a we're learning these things.
And we're happy about it.
Yeah. But we're also not taking them easily, lightly, or casually. Right? This is a big deal. And yeah. I think why it's a big deal, because we can look back up to the top there and see that the doctrine of God affects
everything. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and it's so easy for us, especially as Baptists, to spout off things about the sovereignty of God or the Trinity or what God is, like what he's made of, things like that.
Yeah.
It's easy for us to do that, but in reality, these aren't concepts that are very understandable. Like, they're
right.
hard concepts.
They are.
And so it's like this delicate balance of, well, I truly believe this, but on the same level, I don't believe it easily or casually. Mm-hmm. I don't casually believe this about God. I'm very, very serious about it. And I think you have to go at it from that approach to genuinely find who God is. And what he's doing and what he's active in. I think
right.
that's the approach you have to have. Because if you're super confident, but you're casual about it, nobody's going to care about what you say. But if you're casual about it and there's no like reverence or joy, you're probably in trouble. right. you're probably in trouble. Number one, let's go through these next three things. Number one, the Bible nowhere attempts to prove or argue for the existence of God.
Okay. So it just assumes that he exists.
Yeah, it's this massive assumption.
Yeah.
And I think that is par for the course. Like, that's par for the course for who God is. Mm-hmm. God never appears to Moses and he's like, let me give you the 15 reasons why I exist. He never does that.
No.
Because the evidence that he does that is through he appears
a
in a bush. Okay.
On fire.
I love that, though, because we spend so much of our time defending God's existence through, you know, because we talked about natural revelation a couple weeks ago, and we're so concerned with this idea that God exists. And I think it's important, but I also think that a note that we need to include on the back end of that is that God isn't really interested in defending his own existence. Like, he exists, so
yeah,
deal with it. Number two, God is righteously jealous. Mm. Okay, so this is a concept that I think people have a hard time with, because I feel like we view God's jealousy in comparison to our own jealousy.
Yeah,
because we're like God in that we can be jealous, mm-hmm. and yet we are hardly ever jealous for the right stuff. But God is always jealous. He's righteously jealous. And number three, God requires accountability from people. Mm. Now, that's a tough one, right?
There it is.
So
right
it's again, it's not casual. This isn't something easy or light.
Right.
God requires accountability from people. And it's so interesting because you'll talk to Christians and they'll be like, well, I believe in God and, you know, I accepted him as Lord and Savior when I was a kid, but I'm pretty much just going to do me. Like, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And just being honest, I don't know if you can read any scripture that whenever someone is saved or follows Jesus or becomes a follower of God or something like that, God doesn't almost instantly keep them accountable for whatever they're doing or saying or preaching or whatever it is. And so I think it's kind of arrogant of us to just be like, well, you know, they did it that way, but we're going to do it this way. I think it's just... I'm not a huge fan. Not a huge fan. So then we can jump into what does the Bible have to say about this? And there's a whole lot.
Good stuff.
There's a whole lot here. There is much about God that we do not know, and there is much about God that we will never know. And I think that's a key to this.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we talked about it last week in Special Revelation, where we talked about how we can know the truth of God, but we can only know something about God. We can't know every single thing that there is to know about God.
Well, if we could know everything about God, wouldn't that imply that we could somehow become him?
Yeah, or right. We could be better.
We could, yeah.
Or there might be something better.
Yeah.
We will never know everything about God, even when we're in heaven.
I was about to say, even when I'm there.
Even when we're there with him, we're going to be like, what is that? Like, that's literally what we're going to do. And because we have this false assumption, I don't know where we got it from, that when we get to heaven, just because we have a perfective body means that we're going to just know everything. Like, I don't think that's... And then we have this weird side tangent. We have this weird notion that God's going to answer all our questions when we get to heaven.
Probably not going to happen.
No, it's probably not going to happen, and I probably don't know that we're going to care very much.
No, probably not.
When we get there, because we're going to be in front of this big something, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will be floating around. It's going to be real freaky, but it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be real freaky, yeah.
It's going to be real weird.
We're going to be out like plunging toilets as plumbers or something.
I know.
That'll be our
Who
job.
Worked in the church? Pick up your plunger.
Yeah. Like,
that's literally how it'll be. I'll be really sad if that's it. But man, I slaved in ministry my whole life to wash heavenly toilets. Okay. But I'm sure I'll be happy about it. Okay. So are we going to look up some of these?
Yeah.
These scriptures?
I'm ready.
Okay. Are you at the first one?
I'm at 1 Timothy 6:16.
Okay. You can go ahead and read that.
Okay. Hold on. Oh, wait. 14, 15. Okay. All right. Here we go. Ready?
It's been a long night.
Okay. So he is unapproachable. Okay.
Okay.
So that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
1 Timothy 6:16. Who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see? To him be honor and eternal power. Amen.
So exegete that verse for us.
Okay, so he's immortal.
Yeah.
Who alone? So if we look back at 15, and God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So he's obviously referencing back to God, right?
Sure.
Who alone is immortal? Okay, so he's immortal.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Reminds me of Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
Who's not? They're not immortal.
No.
Anyways.
No.
And who lives in unapproachable light? Okay, you can't approach them.
Right.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
Whom no one has seen or can see. That's interesting.
Yep. Too. Can't see God.
So you can't. No one has, and you can't.
And if you were?
You die.
You die. There you go. God's doing you a huge favor. And
to him be honor and eternal power. Amen.
Well, so I think it's interesting when you think about it in a eschatological way. Like, Jesus comes back to get us, right? God, the Father, doesn't come back to get us. Because if he were to come back, we'd all die. Be dead. That would really stink.
Like, what? Why do you think that is when we go to heaven, we don't die then?
I think it's because we aren't.
A glorified bodies.
Yeah, we're glorified. No we don't, sin. There's no sin in heaven. So, you know, I wonder, golly, I wish I had slept last night. You know, I wonder if it's one of those things where it's like the sun, like you can't stare at the sun too long or you'll go blind.
Yeah.
If you're looking at God, you're like.
You'll just go blind.
Yeah,
you go blind. This is going to be a train wreck.
Woo! All right. Okay.
We're making it through.
Next point. No one can fathom his greatness. So that's Psalm 145:3. The Lord is great and is highly praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So you can't fathom his greatness. It can't be measured. You can't just pull out the biggest yardstick you have and be like, this is how great God is. You just can't do that. Mm-hmm. You can't fathom his greatness. Are you doing Psalms or Job?
I got Psalm.
Okay. I'm going to try to find Job real quick.
I was about to say, I probably should have went to Job because you're already in Psalms, but
no,
that's okay.
It's all right.
So now his knowledge is too high. Okay, so Psalm 139:6, which is, this wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. I love that in there. I am unable to reach it. So it's like, even if we try to reach that knowledge that he has, there's like no way we could actually do it.
Right.
I am unable to reach it.
It's like lofty. It makes me think that something's just too high for me to get.
No, like it's way up there.
Yeah, like you're trying to get that balloon you let go.
Right.
And you just
can't. It's just not. It's in the
too lofty. Okay, here we go. Right. Job 26:14. There are but the fringes of his ways. How faint is the word we hear from him. Who can understand his mighty thunder? So even, you know, his ways are so far away from me. Even when he speaks, I can barely hear him. Things like that. We can't. God just knows more than we do, and he's better than we are, and he thinks better than we are.
All right. Don't you love the end of Job? Isn't that great?
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good book.
I'm not a huge fan of his friends, but I'm a huge fan of him.
Yeah,
even the young man at the end, you can just like go get a job. Okay. Anyway, so... God, the Trinity. So I'd like to not get lost on this.
We got a whole thing coming up on it, so we'll dive in a lot there.
Yeah. God, the Trinity. That's a lot.
It is.
It's just huge. I think we spent 2 class periods on it in seminary. I think that's 6 hours. We spent 6 hours on it because I took a Monday afternoon class from like 12 to 3 or something, mm-hmm. and we talked about the Trinity for 2 whole class periods. So, when I say the Trinity, I mean Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yep.
You will not find the word Trinity in the Bible. That is a man-made term to describe the Trinity. Now, we may get to heaven and God say, hey, this is the actual name that I never told you. And we're like, oh.
Yeah,
but, as we just said, his knowledge is too high.
That's true.
So, it's the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. That's the Father God. That's the Son. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. And that is the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. They are economic, so they do things within a certain framework. So there's certain things the Father does that the Son doesn't do, that the Spirit doesn't do. There's some things Jesus does that the Father doesn't do, the Holy Spirit doesn't do. There's things the Holy Spirit does that the Father doesn't do, and the Son doesn't do. But there are some things that they kind of all share. So they're very economic, like it makes sense when you really get to the nuts and bolts about that type of thing. And I love that. I remember reading that years ago, Economic Trinity, and I'm like, oh, that sounds so ivory tower and great.
Makes you sound smart.
Yeah, so, you know, it's things like, for instance, the Father didn't die for your sins. Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jesus does not dwell in us. The Holy Spirit does. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son, so they share that quality, things like that.
Yeah.
But we're not going to go into all that because that's a whole lot. Now, here's a point, okay?
Okay.
Here's a point.
I'm ready.
The Trinity is necessary, especially when it comes to Jesus.
Okay.
Okay? Okay. So the Trinity is absolutely necessary. So you might be listening to this going, well, that's just your point of view. That's just what you think. That's just being a Baptist. No, I'm going to go with no on that. That's a hard no.
Yeah, this is a big first-tier thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I always call it ABC issues.
Right.
This is an A issue. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, and it might be A1, you know, and that includes
very important.
And that includes Jesus.
Why do you think that is? Why is it an A issue?
Because if there's not a Trinity, then there's just add number one a ton of confusion into the conversation. Okay. Because you got all these people or beings talking to each other, and I think. Even greater than that, probably, is Jesus' divinity. I think that is what, you know, Jesus isn't some created thing.
Right, okay. He's not just some prophet.
Not just some prophet guy. No, he's divine. As we said, and I will continue to say because I like it, you know, he is special revelation, planted,
grounded,
and natural.
Yeah.
And you have to have the special part. You can't
do
that. And it's necessary, and I will fight anyone who says it's not. Okay.
Coming for him.
Elohim is a name for God that is in the plural, which I think is really interesting. We're not going to look it up for sake of time. In Genesis 18, 1 through 15, he is multiple times being referred to as this Elohim, this God who is multiple. Like there's not just one person. It's multiple people. And then in Genesis 1:26, we get this statement that says, "Let's make man in our image." And you've got to think to yourself, well, who is the our in this our image statement? Some people think that it's God and his heavenly hosts of angels, but yeah. There's probably no evidence of that. So I'm just going to kind of go with the trend on that one. And then there's a quote from the Green Book: "The Trinity is budding in the Old Testament and bursting forth in the New Testament." And I think that's a great quote.
I like that too.
You know, it's very hinted at in the Old Testament because you get the Father who's explicitly put out there in almost every way, and then you have the Holy Spirit who comes and goes and is over the waters and all that stuff, and the Son. It's almost like the Son is in Isaiah somewhere underneath like in some sort of cave or something, just ready to come out, and so you see it everywhere. And then I have a bunch of texts here that reference the Trinity. I don't know if we want to. Do you want to look into some
No.
of these? Okay, great. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them. There's 9 of them. And so, but if you're interested though into hearing some of that stuff, we did a whole podcast series over Ephesians.
We did,
and Ephesians talks about the Trinity a lot. Paul definitely believed in the Trinity.
It does.
If you want to go back and look at that, you can totally do that. It's in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th chapter. Yeah. I won't tell you the verses because you should read it for yourself. Okay, here we go.
Get them. And again, we will have a whole thing on the Trinity coming up.
So. Yeah. It'll be good, too. I think, again, I'm going to say this a lot, but I want theology to be refreshing. I don't want it to feel like a task, something that we're exhausted by, something that's way over our heads, something that's so academic, we're just like, forget that.
And maybe I shouldn't say, because I say that we have one about the Trinity, but I don't know that you will have one about, like, obviously we're talking about God now. We'll have Christology, so we'll talk about Christ, and then we'll have, what is it, pneumatology? We talked about the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah,
and that in and of itself is the Trinity.
Yeah.
So through those three,
right,
you'll be able to get a good grasp of who each is and what they each do.
And if we ever get to a point where it does feel super academic, like someone needs to say something so that we can.
Yeah, let us know.
Because you and me don't mind being academic.
No.
But it's more like
I really try not to.
I really try not to either.
I really
try to bring it down, you know. Not dumb it down, bring it down.
Now, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I like the big words, but
I do too. But you can't just say them and move on. You got to be like, "Hey,
like, I don't
what
know
this means.
What like pneumatology. I don't know why that just rolled off the tongue.
It sounds really nice.
It does,
right?
So, anyways,
He who is Genesis through Deuteronomy, foundational text through which we see attributes of God. So, if you've not read through Genesis through Deuteronomy, I would really recommend that you do it. I mean, it just shows who God is and who his character is and how he takes care of his people and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. God tells us how serious he is by naming himself. Because if you think about it, you know, he starts out with the Yahweh, right? But at the same time, the scripture is inspired by God, right?
Yes.
So he's technically naming himself. So I'm just going to go through some of these.
Okay.
Elohim, El Shaddai, El Rey, El Olam. Yahweh and Yah, which I think is interesting.
Yah.
So next time you hear a teenager go, Yah, just know that
they're referencing God,
praising the name above every name. Okay. Mm. So those are just some names for God. Those aren't all of them. There's a whole list of them. I personally gravitate towards El Shaddai.
Okay.
I'd really like El Shaddai because it means the Lord is my banner. Okay. No, that is 100% wrong. I'm gonna totally correct myself on the podcast. The name for God that I like is Yahweh Nissi.
Okay.
That's the Lord is my banner. I preached on that a couple weeks ago. That's why
I remember you said that.
And I really like that because it's like a battle cry. Like this is all what we all form up around and behind. I really like that. I've always gravitated towards that. Yeah. I want something in my office that says that. I really do. I might replace that Chattanooga sign with.
Yeah, well, I hope your mother-in-law isn't listening.
No, I hope she's not. She's not. But but what's funny is I think you told me this a while ago about how like Jehovah's not, like a very a biblical concept.
No, it's not. Which is crazy, right? I think it's Jehovah.
Yeah.
So if you'll
give us the Spark Notes version.
Okay, I'm trying to think through it. Hold on, let me. Okay, so what they did back in the day when they used the word Jehovah is that so you couldn't say the word Yahweh, right? Because it was very
sacred.
Yeah, it was a sacred word that they wouldn't use because it was so sacred, which, by the way, we may want to take some from that. Not that we can't say the word, but maybe that helps us be more serious about it. Anyways, so what they would do is they would, like, combine it with some other word. They would, like, take the vowels or something out of it, and that's where we got the word Jehovah.
Right.
So technically, the word Jehovah is not a name for God. It's just a name they use so they wouldn't say Yahweh.
Right.
Right. Which is interesting because we sing songs about Jehovah, and it's not like
there's no God like Jehovah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not like that's necessarily wrong because we know what we mean.
Yeah.
But
it's one of those things where it's like, it's a weird criticism.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, we need to.
Yeah.
It's bad. Like, no, I would still sing the song, but, you know, I'm a Yahweh guy.
You don't not say it for
it's,
the.
It's Yahweh or no way, as I say.
Wow, that was the dumbest thing I ever. Okay, moving on. That was such a me joke. I can't believe you just made that.
I made some joke on the podcast a few months ago that had something to do with a. Oh man, no, nope, that was not right either. I'm going to correct myself. That was a college group joke that I will not repeat on the podcast. Here we go. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
God who acts.
The God who asks. The God is these things, but he's not abstract. God is, but he also does. So it's this whole thing where God is who he is, but he also does stuff. Like yes, he's not just a stagnant God who sits, as I like to say, in the corner of the universe, grumpy in a chair, thinking about how disappointed he is in all of us. It's not what he does. He actually acts and intervenes.
He does.
The living God, in contrast to dead idols, God is alive, and this life is not dependent on anyone or anything. God has no birthday. Okay, so God has no creator. He's not something made. He's the maker. That's what he does. He doesn't have a birthday. We don't go, yay, happy birthday, God, because that doesn't apply to him. And it just doesn't.
Which is, well, okay, that's fair. Because I was going to say Christmas, but we technically, it's Jesus' birthday, not God's birthday.
I wonder if they celebrate as Jesus' body's birthday or Jesus' birthday. Just fruit for thought there. Okay.
Yeah.
Any child listening to this is like, what? So anyway, the activity of God in contrast to blind fate. God acts in the history of Israel, and that's Deuteronomy 31:3, but I could have listed a bajillion. Like, this could have been 7 pages long. How many verses.
There's so much
that God intervenes for them. God acts among other nations, so not only does he act in Israel, but he also acts in other nations, which I think is awesome. And God acts in nature, and that's Judges chapter 5, and I could have, again, listed a lot of different things. And so it's this whole theory that things just don't happen for no reason. Mm-hmm. Or when we're born, you have a fate, and I have a fate, and it's just the way that it is. Well, not necessarily. God intervenes into the lives of people and things like that. Yeah. And then God in contrast to creatures. So God's greater than his creation. The creation doesn't hold a candle to him.
No, it doesn't.
So there you go. Yeah. That is the God who asks. And then he says, what does God do?
Okay.
So does God just sit around with his feet up? No, God does stuff.
He doesn't.
He inhabits praises, which means he demands praise. And there's a couple of psalms there. Again, I could have probably listed the whole book, but there you go. He can be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
He can help.
Mm-hmm.
He hears us.
Mm-hmm.
He brings light and darkness, and he is our shepherd.
Yep.
So God does a lot of things.
He does.
God asks us to trust him. He tries to help us. He hears us. He brings light in the darkness, and he's our shepherd. So he does all of those things. And I think that's super important.
It does.
Because it feels like, I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like we just live in this world that just continually turns, and it's just day after day, and nothing's changing, nothing's different, but God is actually doing things.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps his word, so through prophecy and covenants. Theology is speech about God, and revelation is the speech of God. Another great quote from the Green Book. Theology is speech about God, which is 100% true. I think that's a great definition. You know, like if you were to define theology and you wrote that next, I think that would be great. He uses prophets, Abel, yeah. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and especially Moses. I put especially Moses there because Moses wrote those first couple of books in the Old Testament. And I think that's super important for us to realize is that Moses most likely wrote Genesis. So we need to really get that in our brain. But he watches his prophets, Jeremiah 1:12. So not only does he use prophets in speech, but he's also watching them and being like, hey, man, how's it going? I heard you said this, and that was dumb. You should probably take that back.
That was dumb.
So number three, he is to be seen finally through Jesus Christ. All four Gospels present Jesus as truly human and fully divine, though the way in which they do varies. That's another quote from the Green Book.
That is
true. All the Gospels show the same Jesus, but it's almost as if they show a different side of Jesus.
Yeah, right.
You know, Matthew is all about the Jewish perspective of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mark is all about, this is what I saw about this random guy that I encountered, and it's really short and sweet, but here you go. And then you've got Luke, who's the doctor, who is trying to convince his friend that Jesus is who he says he is, and he does it so in a very well-written, elegant way. And then you have John, who is just exclaiming about his divinity. So you get all of those different types of things. He forgives sins, speaks with authority, interprets the Old Testament. He performs exorcisms, and he eats with sinners. And it's just such a God thing to do. Like God's like, not only am I going to come and dwell among you, but I'm going to do so and do all of this stuff. Jesus calls God Abba. Jesus is one with God. Jesus sends the Spirit. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the way. Jesus is our Savior, and Jesus is coming back. So Jesus does all of this stuff.
He does.
Because he is a bad mamma jamma, as
he
they
is.
Say.
He is the junk.
He is a bad man. He is a bad man. Okay. So God is emphasized in five ways, and I think that this is really important for us to realize. I'm sure God is emphasized in more than five ways, but these are the five that not only the Green Book, but I agree that they are the five ways in which we should do it. God is creator. If you don't get that from reading the Bible, you're probably reading it upside down. Genesis 1:1. You can go to John 1, Colossians 1, several texts about God creating everything.
Mm-hmm.
God is true and living. So God not only is the truth, but he's alive and well doing things. God is holy. So God is doing things, but not only is he doing them, he's doing them to a standard. I'm going to do it this way. He's set apart. God is triune, so he's three in one.
Three in one, yeah.
He's one God, three persons. Does that make sense? To him, maybe. And God is worthy of praise, Romans 11. And again, I could have picked 1,000 verses for all of these, but those are the five things that we need to know about God. And lastly, he's the Alpha and the Omega, and Revelation is also a bridge between the doctrine of God and its place in history. And I think that's another great sentence. I don't know if I made that up or I got it from the book, but there's no quotation. There's no quotation, so I'm assuming that I made that up. And it's so true, though, because if you read Revelation, you're like, okay, like this is God's doctrine being expressed through history. And I think that that's great.
Okay, so the book of Revelation.
Yes, the book of Revelation.
Gotcha.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, Revelation 22:13.
Yep.
So that's the doctrine of God. Will, do you have any questions, comments, cries of outrage, any sort of last thoughts, anything like that?
No, I think it's great. It's good. we do have, so this is about, this is like the nature of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really touch on his works.
Well, I mean, we sort of did.
Like what he does.
This is just God in general. I mean, he's the Trinity. He's, you know, he's all this other stuff. He acts in nature. He does stuff. This is who he is. Yeah, so.
Right.
Yeah, we'll get into all that stuff. We'll get into all
we
that
will.
Stuff.
We will.
But
no, I think it's good. I don't have anything to add. I think you did well.
Well, there you go. So that's who God is.
It is.
In a podcast. Aren't you glad that...
In like 30 minutes.
I can describe who God is in 30 minutes?
Isn't that crazy?
What do they say? Like the more concise you can be about a topic, the more you know it. I think that's good. That's a good wisdom right there.
That is.
Because whenever I have a book in front of me that's like a bajillion pages, I'm like, But when I have a book that's like 125, okay, all right.
Those are the good ones.
We'll crack that thing open and we'll read the whole thing, you know. So, anyway.
Yeah, but that is the nature of God. Next week we're talking about the work of God, I believe. That's why I said that.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, I have no concept.
He doesn't. So,
time
yeah,
or reality.
Eric does not know what's next week.
Nope.
He just looks
and
like
I'm really ahead.
You are.
I'm really ahead. That probably hurts me more, though. If I was, like, procrastinating, I would know what it is.
You would know what it is.
I would know what it is.
You'd be thinking about it.
That's right.
So, and then with that, next week, I'll throw in, because I combined them two, So then I'll throw in some, like, practical application and implications.
And this is the first one we've done before the class.
What we can do. Yeah. Yeah. This is, yeah, they have not heard. You guys are the first ones to hear this stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll teach this on Sunday. Yeah. So when is this getting released?
Tomorrow. No, Wednesday.
Wednesday, right. So
2 days.
So it'll be a couple of days before that Sunday Sunday talk.
It will.
And I'm looking forward to it. Because we have a bunch of people in there that like to ask questions and stir the pot and throw wrenches into the machine. And I'm like, I wish you really wouldn't do that. Then I have to do maintenance on the machine, and it's just, it's not great. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. And then you get to teach the like a week from then after it's released.
Yep.
Just to be like, hey, guys, don't listen to the this podcast.
Hey, please don't listen to that. It's going to ruin it for us. Don't. Just wait.
But I think what's great, though, is even if you do listen to this podcast and you do come to our Lock and Key class, I think it's also good to be there for the discussion. I think that that's...
Yeah. Well, and I think we hear all the time that this stuff's just so hard that we can't understand it.
Yeah.
And so we're giving you almost three separate, for those of you who do come to the class or are thinking about it, we're giving you three separate times for you to hear these things, right? You can hear them on the podcast, you can hear them in yours, and then you can hear them in the Wednesday night class.
Yeah.
Right? So there's three separate, now that doesn't mean that you're going to get it after three separate times.
Yeah.
But you have three separate opportunities to think. And then the cool thing about that is you probably won't, right? I mean, there's like we talked to Dr. Yarnell on the podcast last semester, and he teaches theology at Southwestern.
He taught me. Yep.
He's been doing theology for a long time, and I think he would even go as far to say, yeah, I still don't know all of it, right? I'm still learning.
And if anything, he didn't understand it.
Right, and that's the cool thing about theology is it's not something you're just going to take one class over and then just learn.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It takes a long time for us to sort of filter through these things, and so that's the cool thing.
I think our church would be more empty if that was the way that it is. Like, if I could just go to an hour class and be like, oh, that's who God is, great, and just walk out.
Moving on.
That's just not.
Right.
That's why we have services every Sunday.
That is.
If you're looking for a church,
there you go.
Come to this one. We're nice people.
We are.
Well, in general. Except Will. Will's not nice.
Mm.
Most other people?
Just don't go to the front pew. Just don't talk to me and we'll be good.
Don't stand next to him either. He throws that hand up and worship and he will knock you out cold.
I didn't yesterday.
No, you didn't.
I don't even remember what we're saying.
Honestly, don't remember much yesterday.
I don't either.
Because my head hurts. I got to go drink that.
Who knows?
Anyway.
Alrighty. Well, guys, thanks for listening. We are for the Word, for the Truth, and for the Church. Thanks again for listening to the Pastor and Intern Podcast.